Blog Talk Radio.
Shamgar and the Ox Code.
Shamgar! Many of you, he was one of the judges of Israel. Many ministers never even see that in the Bible. But he's one of the judges of Israel. One little verse wrote about him. But I like him. He's a man after my heart. You know, the Philistines, and every man did what he wanted to do. So we find out the Israelites had raised up a whole lot of crop, and the Philistines had sat back over there and gambled and let them slave for them. And here they walk right in, no unity among them. Go right on in and say, well, take their crops. Year after year they did that. This little fellow one day, he wasn't a warrior. He just had the only thing he had was his crop. I imagine standing out there putting his crop in the barn. He looked at the little ragged kids and his wife needed a dressing. Just got it all laid in nice. And he was standing there leaning, saying, well, maybe we can eat this winter. He heard something. He looked out the barn window. Here come 1,000 Philistines. March, march, march. Great big plates of armor over him. Big, well-trained man. Spears in her hands. March on. Let's take what he had. He looked down at his kids. He looked at his wife. He was concerned. But what was he? He was helpless. He's not a swordsman. Now, he didn't say, now, wait a minute. Maybe I better go to school and learn how to duel the Creeds. If he'd done that, that's all he'd known about. But here's one thing that he knew. He happened to think, by birth, I'm an Israelite. And God promised Abraham, my father, that his seed would possess the gate of his enemy. Hey, amen, that's enough. Hey, amen. He was concerned of his family. He was convinced he was an Israelite. The first thing he had in his hand, he grabbed it. There's an ox goad. A stick, a little piece of brass on it, knocked the mud off the plow, pushed the goad along, or the ox as it went along. And 1,000 Philistines with armor. You don't see the opposition. He was concerned and he was convinced. He was convinced and know that he was an Israelite. He was convinced that God couldn't lie. He is convinced that the blessing was upon him. He knew that it was a promise of God. Hey, man, I feel pretty religious right now. He was convinced that it was God's promise. Just the same as Acts 2:38 is God's promise. He was convinced that God said, his seed, which he was, will possess the gate of the enemy. So he grabbed that ox goad, stood right out there and beat every one of them down. Why? He was concerned and he was convinced.
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
I see it in Babylon. Getting up in the daytime, old king, instead of anybody that won't bow to that image will be thrown in a fiery furnace that's hotter than the gospel tabernacle in Chicago. All right, said it'd be 7 times hotter than it's ever been hit. Ever who won't bow to that image. Well, these boys turned their back on him. All right, he said, I'm going to throw them in the fiery furnace. I can look down at Babylon that morning. Amen. I can see the whole sky red. The king Nebuchadnezzar had himself a seat sitting out there, you know, as it was, his legs crossed, said, bring out them holy rollers. We'll burn that religion out of them. Brother, you can't make fire fight fire. The Holy Ghost is fire itself. That's right. Said, bring them out. And we'll burn that religion out of them. We'll make them bow down. I can hear Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego starting up that gang plank there, going to drop off into the furnace. I hear Shadrach say, Brother Abednego, yes, Shadrach, you sure you prayed through? Yes, I'm sure it's all right. Yeah, that's a victory. All right. Said, hey, you want to take it back? He said, our God is able to deliver us in this fiery furnace. But nevertheless, if he don't do it, we'll not bow down to your image. Amen. Yeah. I'll not bow to your image. They walked a few feet farther. My, looked like God was unconcerned about it. I can see the man with the spears. The intense heat was just about to get them. It's about to suffocate. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, kind of fainty-like, walking on up, hands tied behind them, going right into the fiery furnace, taking the last step of the way. I can see them now where they're just about, let's dramatize this a little. I can see them where they're just about one step from going into the fiery furnace. The only person who gets in a hurry is you and I. God takes his time. As long as he's promised it, that's good enough. All right, I can see him right up there, almost ready to step in the fiery furnace. And look, it looks pretty bad for believers there. There the old king said, well, we'll stop them holy rollers around here now. We got her all under the situation control now. As soon as they hit that fiery furnace, the rest of these guys will see that. They'll know that I'm boss around here. But brother, there's another boss sets up down in heaven who knows all things.
Yeah.
Let's turn our face towards him now and see what he's doing. You know, all the time there's anything going on down here, there's something going on up there too. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Let's look. I can see him sitting on his throne. My eyes, great robes hanging around him. I look coming up to his right. Here comes an angel. You believe his angel's in heaven?
Yeah.
There's a great fellow come there with his sword drawn. His name is Gabriel. He stood up before the master, bowed his head, said, Master, I've tried to obey you ever since you created me. But have you looked down in Babylon this morning? We got three believers down there that absolutely are true, genuine believers, and they're fixing to burn them up. Let me go down there. I'll change that scene. I believe he could have done it. Yes, sir. I can hear the master say, Gabriel, you're true. You've been a real angel. You've done everything I told you to do since I created you. But put that sword back in the sheath. I can't let you go. Hey, Gabriel, sheathed his sword, stood attention at his side. Here comes another angel. What's his name? Is that Wormwood? He's got control over all the waters. He falls down before the master. He says, Master, have you looked down in Babylon? They're fixing to burn up three believers down there this morning. That's holding true to God's word. Look at him. Why, I tell you, if you just let me go like you did when I gave me the power to destroy the antediluvian world, I broke up all the springs of the deep and I sent a flood that destroyed the whole world. Woodworm in heaven, you'll ask control of the waters. He said, I'll go down there this morning and I'll wash Babylon off the face of the earth. I believe he could have done it. Amen. I sure do. I hear him say, Woodworm, you're a good angel. You've obeyed me ever since I created you, but I can't let you go. But he said, Lord, have you considered? Yes. I've been watching him all night long. Amen. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Amen. Yes. I've watched him all night long. I heard him in the prayer meeting last night. I heard him when they prayed too, and they struck heaven here with their prayers. I'm watching. I know they got one more step to go. I've been watching them all night long. I can't let you go because it's a man-sized job. I'm going myself. Amen. Hallelujah. I can see him rise from his throne. His priestly garments drop around him. Walk out here to the edge of his big throne. Walks out here. Over in there sends a big white thunderhead. I can hear him say, come here, east wind, west wind, north and south. Amen. Everything obeys him. Say, get under that thunderhead down and right upside of my throne here. I see those winds get under that thunderhead. Big cloud of come roaring up before the throne. He steps off on there, reaches up, gets a hold of the zigzag lightning, and cracks her. Them winds are like horses. Brother, he was on his road down when they made their last step. When he passed by the sea of life, he pulled off a palm down there. By the time they took their last step into the fiery furnace, there was a fourth man in there, one like the Son of God, fanning away. You know, he was like that.